Good morning. You know, today I will ask you to lend me your ear and to lend me your heart and to lend me your mind for a few minutes as we examine the heart of a mother. And as we examine the heart of a mother, I really believe we will catch even a deeper glimpse in who our great God is. You know, like our brother James shared, the Bible does command us to honor our mothers. And today, not only should we do that in community, but we also should do that individually. However, for sure, this day for some of us can be a painful day. Maybe we lost our mothers. Maybe we have a difficult relationship with our mothers. Maybe our relationships with our mothers is on and off. Maybe like me, one of the first things I did when I got up this morning, I gave my mother a call. It would not surprise me, on the other hand, that if I call her later on today, she would have forgotten that I called her. Because she has dementia. And she was as effervescent and loving towards me, and that doesn't surprise you, and it shouldn't surprise you. But she was, as in a normal sense. And earlier this week, one of my brothers had breakfast with my mom, and I called her the very day and said, "Mom, so great you had breakfast with Brian." And she said, "I did?" And that was only a couple hours ago. And so maybe some of us have those relationships with our moms, or maybe some of us, it's moms are far away, we can't really see them or get in touch with them. But there's a spectrum of a dynamic that we can have. But I think it's really important for us to imagine with our hearts and with our minds as we examine the scriptures this morning about the heart of the mother. And we are going to get some insights, I really believe, as to how great indeed our God is. You know, the heart of a mother is not unlike a sacred fire that God has put in our hearts. And this morning, we'll examine that there is a fire that burns, not in pulpits or even thrones or palaces, but in the heart of a mother. This fire is not man-made. It is literally put there. This fire that is sacred is lit by the hand of God Himself. Before a baby draws his first breath, this fire burns. Before the child speaks, this fire speaks. I just experienced the birth of our fourth grandchild. And to talk with the mother, my daughter-in-law, and as she was preparing to be a mother, that began before even the birth of the child. And so we see here, when our daughter was born 31 years ago, We began praying for her when she was still in the womb. And so, a mother, before the world already even knew her name, we prayed, we wept, and we waited. This flame, this heart that is within a mother is ablaze. But need I remind you, it was lit by God Himself. And today, we will go to that place and we will honor the altar where that fire lives, which is in the heart of a mother. And as we do that this morning, I really believe also we're going to have a chance to understand how our great God truly is. And so we will examine that the heart of a mother comforts. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 66, we read about the fact that God uses some things to describe who He is by talking about mothers. Now, I want to propose to you this morning that there are a lot of things that are self-evident. They're called axioms. Axioms are things that are so self-evident, they don't need to be proved. If you've done any mathematics, you learn about axioms. There's some things that are unprovable. There's some things that are so self-evident. I'm going to ask you this morning, what are some things that are so self-evident that you don't have to even explain it? What do you think? What are some things that are a basis of human understanding that we don't even have to explain it? Say that again. Breath. Okay? Eating. Who said that? Eating. Yes. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, in terms of husbands, that it assumes that you take care of yourself. There's no proving. It tells us that we treat our neighbor how? As ourselves. It doesn't tell you. Now, in the broken world, there's a great assumption there. As a matter of fact, another big assumption, which is axiomatic in the philosophical and theological world, is this idea of a belief in God. You will find that there's nowhere in the scriptures does the Bible try to prove the existence of God. It assumes the existence of God simply by existence by itself. As a matter of fact, it goes an extra step and it says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. But it's there. It goes off that self-evident fact. Another one of those is the mother and their disposition towards their children. One of the scriptures that's used in the book of Isaiah, it says, can a woman forget the child that she is nursing? It says, even though, and it assumes, absolutely they can't. And what is assumed is that the heart of a mother is a heart that actually comforts. In Isaiah chapter 66, in verse 13, this is what it says. We'll see this once again.
It says in verse 13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. It doesn't go into all the lengths of explaining how a mother comforts her child. It's self-explanatory. It's amazing how mothers are in tune with their children's needs. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. 10 people are sitting in a room, and the mother of a child, especially a young child, hears her child crying. Nobody else does. And there is nobody that will argue with that mother, you've lost your mind. They're going to go tend to your child. Sometimes it's not even in the same house. And the intuitive nature of a mother's need and a child's need of their mother is so there, and the desire to comfort, the desire to be there. And God says, we will understand him even a little bit more when we understand how a mother, in an axiomatic manner, actually comforts her children. Mothers do not forget their children. Some of the greatest pains in this world today is mothers who are in an unfortunate situation and can't take care of their children and have to give them up for adoption. And that there's an impossibility that mother lives every single day with that burning in their hearts, or God forbid, when we were uninformed and unenlightened, maybe had an abortion. And the psychological warfare that goes on. Or miscarriages. Mothers do not forget. They cannot give up. Sometimes even husbands and fathers cannot understand the intense ways that a mother is with their child. They burn with compassion, even in silence, when that head that is so warm with fever is cooled by a mother's hug. Or when that broken spirit can only be calmed by a mother's touch. How many of us, when our child is crying and we can't understand why, and the dad, in a well-intended way, goes to help and actually causes bigger problems? And suddenly the moms pick him up, and the crying stops. And the father feels absolutely insecure and is wondering, what is wrong with me? It's inexplicable, this idea of how a mother comforts. And God compares his comfort for his people like a mother's comfort of their children. Secondly, a heart that cries in prayer.
In the book of 1 Samuel, we read about this mother that we talked a little bit, actually quite more than a little bit, in our thread series. The mother, Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verses 10 to 11, we read about Hannah. We know Hannah was barren. She couldn't have children. And she wanted a child so badly. And it says in verse 10 to 11, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on my servant, on your servant's misery, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Hannah, the heart of a mother cries in prayer. And what we realize about Hannah is that she just didn't just want a baby, but she wanted God's will. That sacred fire, she lit a fire on the altar of prayer, and heaven was moved to answer her prayer. How many prayers, silent, weeping, wailing prayers have been offered by mothers for their children? And so we see in this same section, verses 27 to 28, Hannah continues, I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. Amen. And now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. You know, after this prayer was answered, we see it was just simply not an emotional prayer, but actually she followed through because she just didn't just want a baby, but she wanted God's will. A heart of a mother that cries out in prayer. There is no prayer life like a mother on her knees interceding on her children's behalf. Our daughter, last summer, called and she was not doing well. My daughter struggles with having bipolar. She didn't live down the street. She lived in Spain, lives in Spain. After worship service on Sunday morning, we received a call and we're sitting in a car. Well, we had never seen her like this before. Her mother's intuition says, I've never seen her like this before. We need to go see her. I need to go see her. We literally, Melanie took the next plane out. And because we have so much money, it didn't matter. But that heart was not what the checkbook says. It's when the cry of a child and the prayer that goes out, we can't turn the heart off, and the mother can't turn the heart off. There is no convincing that says, babe, how are we going to pay for it?
There's no intercessor like a mother on her knees for her child.
If that's the way a mother can feel about her child, how does God feel about us? Mary has a heart that ponders and guides. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 19, today as we are examining these scriptures, the idea is to catch a glimpse. God is saying, I want you to understand me better, so I'm going to give you a mother. You know how John the Baptist was described? He says, no one born of woman. Very poetic language to say, everybody has a mother. Everyone. There is a connection that is unrivaled. When we were there for our fourth grandchild's birth, and we were there for the time spent with them, and we had a really unbelievable experience. Michael and Emily chose to circumcise their child. And so we all gathered around. We had a rabbi come in, and we watched and have a ceremony. And literally, in an uncontrollable manner, tears are flowing from Emily's, the little boy's mother, as she experiences and she's just there connecting with her son. And then initially when, you know, he had to learn how to feed and latch on and all this kind of stuff, and sometimes he's crying, and as she's there, she's literally crying with him, because, and I said, it's going to get better. And it's all part of the experience. And all the mothers in this room can absolutely relate to what I'm talking about. And my son and I, you know, rubbing the back, but we don't really quite understand. Almost asking, why are you crying? Now, if you were to see him, he's a fat chunk. He's feeding like crazy. But that experience of going through that difficult time only connects in a greater way, like no other person can. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, we read about this idea, what Mary did with her son, the Lord of glory. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary, one of my favorite songs is, Mary, did you know? Did you know when you kiss the baby that you kiss the face of God? Mary's responsibility as a young woman who was given over to be the house of the Lord of glory, guided, protected. She didn't fully understand. His destiny was the cross. But there is a tension that a mother holds, unlike any other person, that to be able to not fully understand, yet not let go. What I mean by that, hey, I don't know where this child is going to end up.
But I will not let go protecting, guiding him as he's on this earth. She kindled the flame quietly, teaching, watching, waiting. The fathers just get going. Come on, let's go. And oftentimes this intuition that mother has in kindling the flame, Mary stayed when others fled. When ultimately they were crucifying him, she stayed. A mother's heart does not quit on their child. Doesn't know how to. It endures confusion, suffering, and ultimately surrenders to what is going on. Constant battles goes on in our line of work, where we're sitting with couples who can't agree on how to parent their child. Fathers want actions. Mother wants patience. One says, this boy is going to become nothing because you're babying him. And the other one says, he's going to become a rebel and a gang member because you're pressuring him too much. And so you have that battle. And I'm not making this up. But if we would understand a mother's heart, a mother doesn't know how to quit their child. They can't do it. And if that's what a mother who's a sinner can be with their child, how much more so our God in heaven toward us? You see, a mother is there to help us understand more about who our God is. My dad never saw his father because he died when he was young, when he was 2 years old. Don't know. They didn't have photographs of him. Doesn't know what he looks like. The only way he knew what his father looked like is when people who grew up with him said, "You look just like your father." He just had to take their word for it. Some of us were giving up for adoption. Our mothers died in childbirth. I never got to experience some of that. And maybe there's some sadness. But the whole idea is to understand the heart of a mother is one that guides and protects and doesn't know how to quit their child. John chapter 19, we continue with Mary. In verse 25, it says this about this child. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Imagine with me for a second, watching your son die the most horrific of deaths. Now, sometimes we've even seen when somebody, for whatever reason, the child goes off the reservation, so to speak, and has done some things that is deserving of punishment. And you see some mother that says, you know what? For his own good, he needs to be under authority. And a mother would say, hey, do what you will. But Jesus was not that.
And the Bible simply says Mary stood beside the cross of Jesus, a cross that was reserved for wicked people. The most heinous of all criminals. And the mother watches her son. I know my mom towards me. If she saw I punched someone, she would say, "No, he didn't. That guy took his face and hit my son's hand." The idea here that I'm trying to communicate is this. Mary watched her perfect son now suffering for something. But check this out. This fire burned, but it did not consume her, and that she was so caught up. Sometimes to love deeply is to believe quietly, to reflect on God's heart, and to walk through fire and come out worshiping. Amen. Let me ask you a question. When you walk through fire, do you come through bitter? Does it cause you to be embittered? Man, that can happen to me. Why, God? Do I really deserve this? Have you not seen how great I am? Oh, I wouldn't say those words. But sometimes I think, like, if I don't say him, but I feel him, that God doesn't understand. But Mary walked through because it was a sacred fire and came out worshiping. That is a heart that sacrifices. We look at some other mothers. Now, we read about the mother and a grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We have gone into this stage now of grandparenting. That is a distinctive season of life that we're in. I have 4 grandchildren. So does Melanie. We feel an immense burden, not an unhealthy one, to raise them in the Lord. This is what 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Paul writes, one of the most impactful, renowned Christians who ever walked on the face of the earth was Timothy, the protege of Paul. And he said, the inspiring faith that Timothy was and had was developed by his mother and his grandmother. Wow. It wasn't Elijah. You know, one of the things that the instinct of Melanie, she has about our grandchildren is, it's very important what we do. Our vacation now is spending time with our children and our grandchildren. We used to spend one time a year where her and I go, we got to figure that one out. But we feel an obligation inspired by Lois and Eunice. A faith that was passed down with nighttime prayers, whispered blessings in their ear. And you know who Paul points to? What class, what school of training Timothy went to? Lois and Eunice. The inspiration that a mother, a heart of a mother, is one that inspires faith. That is not farmed out to the church. It's not farmed out to others. That's the inspiration that Paul pointed to describe the faith of one of the most effective Christians to walk the face of the earth, and that is Timothy. Their altar of prayer, their sacred fire, became Timothy's foundation. I ask you, what kind of foundation are we laying? Embittered? Grouchy? Complaining? Listen, we all fall into those categories at times, okay? But what describes us? I am so grateful for my mother. There's never a time that I can't wait to see her. It's not because I'm doing a sonly thing. I just love to see my mother. For what her love for me, unconditional love, helped me walk through fires. Not living a life of fear, because I knew that whenever I went home, a crown was put on my head, so to speak. And I faced the fears of my life, not wondering what will happen when I get home, but knowing fully. Yeah, I saw that child took their face and put it and hit your fist. I don't know how much longer I have with her, or maybe she with me. That's why I have a monthly trek to spend time with my parents. It's my way of honoring them. But if that's what a mother can inspire in their children, that's what mothers do. To every mother and mother figure today, embrace your sacred fire. This fire is strong and it's holy. It may go unnoticed, but it changes the world one soul at a time. Okay, so from time to time, I go on YouTube and I listen to songs that are inspirational. One of the most inspirational stories, at least for me, was a little boy, or a young man at this point in time, from nowhere, went onto a talent singing show. His name was Callum Scott. And he's from nowhere. And he got the golden buzzer. And the golden buzzer meant that you go straight to the finals. You don't have to go through. And his mother was in the crowd. And you should see the face as her little boy was recognized by the world. And then she said something as they were interviewing afterward, and he's become a superstar. She says, the thing that is going to break my heart, and I know I'm going to miss him being at home. She didn't really care about what kind of superstar he's. I'm just going to miss him. But I'm just happy for him. I just want him to be the best that he can be. Amen. What a mother does, they kindle the flame in that child's life. And to empower a soul. Yeah. I'm not sure of any other person, human being, that has empowered this soul more than my mother. Oh, I love my dad, but no one like my mom. My mom is the most docile, unassuming woman on this earth. When I walk into their home, she says, Tone, what do you want to eat? And she starts cooking. I said, stop it. You should have done it before. No, I'm just kidding. She lives to serve us. It's her life. What that has put in me and my value as a human being is unmatched. Unmatched. What a mother can kindle in a child, the fire is strong. So moms, today, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us an example, a snapshot, a picture of who our great God is. The whole idea of today was twofold. Was to encourage the moms, let them know how much we feel about them, and to catch a snapshot that God says, I've given you these to understand me better. And so today, I'm going to ask the moms to stand up. And we want to read a pledge to you today. And so I'm going to ask the rest of the members of the congregation, all who are in this room, let us take heart. So let's read slowly together. Moms, we're saying this to you. If you can't see, find a place to see. Don't push the moms over. That's not Christian-like. So let's read together. And we're saying this to you, moms. One, two, three. Rock the cradle. Shake the heavens. So let's start over. I want you all to read. This is what we're saying to them. So we read with that cadence, okay? Rock the cradle and shake the heavens. Wipe the tears and keep the altar lit. For the sacred fire in your heart is the very echo of God's eternal love. Please go ahead and be seated. Today, you echo God's eternal love. And so as we take the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of what God has given us in our mothers. And yet, as a mother can't watch their child suffer, and Jesus was given to us by his Father so that he could suffer for us. Here's the difference. Mothers try to protect their children, and sometimes they can't help them at all. God had the power to stop Jesus from suffering. One of the most crazy things in this world was when my son one day busted his foot and he's profusely bleeding. And he's screaming at the top of his voice. I legitimately prayed to God, God, can you take that pain and put it on me? To watch him. And he's crying, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Because in his toes, the anesthetic was not taking. Because sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. And they had to stitch his toes without any anesthetic. And he's holding my hand, squeezed, crushing the life out of me, having a towel, biting the towel. And I prayed, God, take that pain, please, and just, can you please transfer it to me? And if I, as an evil person, could do that, how much more so our Father, who had the ability to stop his son from suffering? My son's busted his toe because he was playing sports and he just ran into a wall. It was his fault. It was not Jesus' fault that he went to the cross. Here's the difference. It was ours. It was ours. And God had the ability to stop that injustice, but he knew if he did, we would have no hope. And so as we take the Lord's Supper, if you don't have the emblems, please go ahead and raise your hand, and the ushers will come, and they will hand it to you. So if you can go ahead and do that, please raise your hand, and when you receive it, go ahead and put your hand down. And so at this moment in time, we'll give thanks for the body and blood of Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're grateful that as we looked at honoring our mothers today, and which is the first commandment that came with the promise, I pray that they felt honored. I pray, Father, that as we reflect on what you did for us through your Son, that, Father, we will be filled with gratitude in our hearts and to understand the heart of a mother is the eternal love that you have given us. And that love and that heart echoes that. We're thankful for Jesus, that he offered himself so that we can have life. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin that's offered through the blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.